Technology's creating our future, but not enough of us have the skills to be part of that creative process. Educators warn that we need more students of science, technology, engineering and maths, the STEM subjects. So how do we get students to select STEM subjects? Engineer Solange Coonan believes the key is to work on real-life projects. She's the creator of the startup CubeRider, which allows Australian high school students to design and run science experiments on the International Space Station. It's always been Solange's dream to study aerospace engineering at the University of New South Wales.
As a child, I became absolutely obsessed with studying this degree. I grew up in a forest on the northern rivers of New South Wales, and I was born to a very black night sky. There was not a single light around us. We were in a complete black zone. The night sky there is so magnificent. I took my fiancé up there a few years ago, and he's a Sydney-born tech geek. He's never been to the country before. He was not keen. Zero internet or connectivity or our abundance of red-bellied black snakes. It was his first time in the country, and he thought, heck, I'll make it all better if I just take our telescope up there. So we brought along our 14-inch telescope, and when we were setting it up, I had to support him a bit. There aren't any clouds coming. The stars are just so dense, and you can see so many of them that it kind of looks misty. That's the night sky I grew up with. And it truly, truly inspired me. It inspired me to get through school. In fact, it's the only reason why I went to class. NASA requires a high school education. Weird. It took me 700 kilometres away from home to come to this university to study aerospace engineering and mathematics. And it was here at this university that I started hearing about the STEM skills shortage that our country is facing. If anyone else grew up under a rock, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering and maths, which basically means if we're going to quench the thirst of 21st century industries, we're going to need more people with technical and computer skills. Our government released a report saying that 40% of jobs were going to be taken by automation and robots. We've heard that before already tonight. What people often don't realise is that within the jobs that are being taken, it's both the blue and the white collar jobs. We all know that manufacturing jobs are going to be disappearing, but it's also the accounting, the legal, the medical jobs that are also going to disappear. Of the jobs that are left, 75% of them require STEM skills. The overwhelming majority. To give you an idea of just how much these skills are cropping up where we least expect it, a boilermaker or a welding apprentice career path right now starts with them learning the physical trade, going to installing the instruments that are going to replace their physical labour, all the way through to then coding and optimising the software on those instruments and analysing the data they collect. An apprentice welder will become a software engineer or a data analyst. How many people here have actually sat down and spent a day coding, for instance, one of the core STEM skills? Quite a few. Excellent. For those of you who haven't, you won't know that it's actually really boring. It's soul-destroyingly boring. You spend most of your time looking for where you've went wrong. You bash your head against the keyboard until magically at some point it works. And at that point, and this is the only reason any of us do STEM, but at that point you get this rush of self-satisfaction and you feel glorious. No one can take that from you. So how do we get more students to persevere through all the really boring, tedious, long bits to get to that glorious moment at the end? I looked at myself. I obviously self-nominated myself into that pain. And space worked for me. And so my thinking is that it should work for someone else. And really, when you think about it, if you really think about it, there isn't anything more inspiring or more awesome than space. The only thing that comes close is dinosaurs, but my asteroids won that millions of years ago. We got this. So what if every high school student in Australia had the opportunity to access space? What if all of them had the opportunity to feel that rush and self-satisfaction at the end of a giant project? What if every 14 and 15-year-old could say that they've had their very own space mission? Wouldn't we be closer to filling that STEM shortage? Wouldn't we have a nation of inspired and capable and enthused students ready to take on the next hurdles of our society? This is what I've set out to do with my startup, CubeWriter. We've developed an education program geared towards high school students that enables them to have their very first real space mission. Over the last 2 years, we've had over 2,000 students go through our program. We've had two missions onto the International Space Station. My hardware is currently above us in space. The latest rocket we went on was a SpaceX rocket. Personal dream come true. Our students have learned some of the hardest STEM skills, from coding and data analytics, all the way through to a suite of the hardest soft skills, like collaboration, critical thinking, and effective communication. The issue is with this program and getting it off the ground was that the current generation of teenagers are no-nonsense miniature adults. They have a high bar and they don't accept anything but the best. So in order to really achieve the impact that we want to have, we had to become Australia's first collaborators with the International Space Station. This meant as we were getting approval by 16 other governments around the world who were asking us who was the leading research body of our country that was wanting to collaborate internationally, we had to say no. It was a group of teenagers who were learning to code for the very first time. And they're our first rocket scientists on the International Space Station. Obviously, there were some hoops to jump through. It is difficult to send something to space. What made it more difficult was that we were the first ones to do it. So not only did we have to jump through hoops, we were put in a dark room with a blindfold on and we had to find them first. We were the first startup, we were the first anyone to get an overseas launch certificate in decades. And we took what took Optus with their full legal team 18 months, 6 months for a 22-year-old dropout engineer. We contributed a vast amount to the new federal space policy in doing so, meaning that if any of you want to send something to the space station, I got you covered. One moment throughout that entire process really sticks with me. Australia has signed the UN Space Treaty, but all the other countries involved with the International Space Station have their own international agreement. In order for us to have our hardware up there, we had to actually negotiate these different treaties. So I was on a teleconference with lawyers from Washington, D.C. and Canberra negotiating these international agreements to make our teenage students able to participate. That is the definition of being out of your depth. So the way that the program works is that students use a replica piece of hardware that we've designed, a programmable sensor module, and we've got one of those on the International Space Station. They go through our program, they code up the sensors to manipulate them to do something that they've chosen to do themselves. It gets security screened, beamed up, we run their code, the student-written code, up in space, and we beam back their results to the classroom. And obviously the most important part about all of this is what they do with that opportunity. And it's mind-blowing. We've had students make virtual reality programs with the hopes to train space tourists for life on a space station. We've had a group of girls monitor the environment on a space station and the effects it has on your skin and develop a real physical moisturizing cream with dermatologists. That's a commercializable product, making little entrepreneurs. We've also got students who are very interested in on that next level for our society, going to Mars. And they've investigated the effects of moving in and out of the sun's heat and the structural effects of the expansion and contraction involved with that. Their hopes are to work on Mars habitats for humans. And the important thing to realize when I talk about that is these are your ordinary 14 and 15-year-olds. These aren't your gifted and talented. These aren't the top of the state or the country. These are your ordinary teenagers in your ordinary schools with their normal teachers in their normal classes. They've been given a platform and an opportunity to explore and play and learn. And it works. Students say the most incredible things at the end of the program. They say that they've never done anything this exciting before in their life. They're generally the younger ones who haven't had a boyfriend yet. They say that they didn't know that they liked science or that they could be creative in science. Some even say that they didn't feel that they were prepared for their life, for their careers until they'd gone through our program. And really what we're doing here is we're setting a bar. If your very first STEM project at the age of 14 or 15 is a real-life space mission, what can't you achieve? This is where we're setting the bar for our youth. Imagine what they're going to be able to accomplish. What we do is we focus on the one thing that worked for me, inspiration. It can't be manufactured. It can't be lectured. You will not convince today's youths to learn something because I told you so and you'll thank me when you're older, probably when you have one of the few jobs left. That's just not the way it works anymore. You have to show them why it's worth striving through and getting through the boring parts so you can feel glorious, why it's worth working through all of the tedious parts, to show them how amazing it is to point to something incredible, like a rocket launching or a satellite glimmering across the night sky or a Mars habitat landing on a new surface of Mars and say, I was part of that. I did that. It's the why that's been missing in all of our education efforts so far. It's the inspiration that our students are missing. My dream, besides obviously getting my degree at some point, is that all students in our country have the opportunity to have their own space mission. I hope that all of these students can have an experience that takes them above and beyond the normal classroom and really allows them to reach for the stars. Thank you.
Science educator Solange Coonan speaking at UNSW's Unsomnia event last year. You've been listening to Big Ideas. I'm Cathy Van Exstel. Bye for now.